Greetings. Today is Graduate Sunday. This is a day where we celebrate our students, our graduating seniors, and recognize the contributions that they've given to us here at Alliance Church during their time here, as well as the journey that they've undertaken in their lives to grow in knowledge and maturity, and most importantly of all, their faith. 2020 marks a unique time to be a senior in high school. It's been a spring semester of lament over many lost opportunities. Quite frankly, I've been humbled by just how well our graduates have responded to these changes in their lives. They've adapted, they've persevered, and dare I say, they've thrived amidst this sea of changes. This year, we have four graduates who've chosen to take part in our graduation Sunday experience. They are Sierra Kicker, Josh Oden, Tucker Olson, and Sam Gold. If you haven't noticed yet, this graduation Sunday is different from any other graduate Sunday that we've ever done here at Alliance Church, mainly because we're not meeting together. If you are on our church email list, you should have received an email with a link on it, actually a pair of links, the first of which is to a PDF file that is a program that consists of some questions that the graduates answered to provide a more in-depth look at who they are and what their future plans are. And the second is a link to a YouTube video that you can watch following the conclusion of this message. Three of our graduates agreed to come in and be interviewed, and I asked them some questions about their time at Alliance Church, what their future plans are, and it's a great opportunity really to give them a voice. Normally, they'd have an opportunity to speak on Graduate Sunday here on a Sunday morning, and they've just been really great and flexible in navigating these times here in 2020. So we thank them for that, and really, I've just been impressed with their character. If you don't receive the church emails, know that you can also find that video link for the senior interviews in the description below this video. And you can go ahead and click that after the service and watch our three graduates engage in that interview. It's my intent to keep this message shorter today to give you an opportunity to engage with that interview following the conclusion of my time speaking here this morning, and to give you an opportunity really to celebrate our graduates from a distance, to pray for our graduates, and really to hear some of what's on their heart. So I encourage you to take part of that afterwards. For those of you who'd like to get a little bit closer, I did send out an email on Friday detailing the parade of honks that's going to be taking place today. I encourage you to attend that as well. It'll be a great opportunity to show love from a distance to our graduating class of 2020. Please bow your heads and pray with me, and we're going to dive into God's word together this morning. Father God, Lord, I pray not my words today, Lord, but your words. I pray that you would be glorified, God, and no one, nothing else, only you, Father. This is a day that we celebrate our graduates, yes, but above all, Lord, we seek to be transformed into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Please be with us, Father, as we engage what you have for us today. Amen. One of the common expressions we hear around this time of year is, what's the next chapter in your story? You know, we treat our lives like a series of chapters. Chapter one, we're a baby. Chapter two, we're a toddler. Chapter three, you know, we enter preschool, and so on and so forth until eventually we reach the chapter in our lives where we're about to graduate high school. And we start to ask ourselves the question, what's next? What's the next chapter of our story? Oftentimes, we can find ourselves navigating our faith journey in much the same way. You know, chapter one, salvation, right? This life of a new believer. Chapter two, you know, a man or a woman on fire. Chapter three, we can talk about maybe baggage, what the gospel tract didn't share about dying to self. Chapter four, the divine essence of church potlucks. And we can go on and on and on with these various chapters that we have. And there's nothing wrong with turning the page from one chapter to another. We grow, we're transformed. The Bible tells us that who I was yesterday is not who I'm supposed to be today, and certainly shouldn't be who I am tomorrow. We are constantly being transformed into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So there's nothing wrong with these chapters in our lives. In fact, I think they can be a great way to gain some perspective at times. The truth is, each one of us has a story. And each one of our stories has a title, and our stories have a table of contents, and our stories are filled with various chapters that are listed within it that kind of detail the details of our lives. And each one of us has this cover that binds these pages of our storybook together and holds everything in place. And each one of our book covers is covered with cover art. And that cover art shows the world what and who our story is about. And eventually, this side of eternity, as our story comes to an end, we reach the final pages, and our book on this earth might come to a close. And when people browse the shelves of our lives and we see the people who have gone before us, as they search out the titles and look at the cover art of the stories that people have left behind, we find that our stories are going to point to something, and our stories are going to point to someone. But before anyone can read your story, they have to first see the title and the cover art. And if your title and cover art don't draw people in, your story might remain on the shelf collecting dust. And here's the point of this storybook illustration. If we allow our stories to be written by God, really to be about God, and we allow God, the master artist, to draw the cover art, then our stories will never collect dust, because our stories are never going to end. It's a never-ending story. Sure, there are going to be chapters that come to a close within the storybook of our lives, and this is normal, it's natural, but there are certain realities within the Christian life that do not end, and they saturate every chapter of our Christian walk. And today we're going to look at one that I think should dominate the cover art of each one of our stories, because it's that important. Today we're looking at the never-ending story of prayer. 4 weeks ago, I spoke on the abundance of power we have available to us through the person of the Holy Spirit. And today is really part two of that message, because it presents us with a way to live out that power in our lives. Take a look at what the Apostle Paul wrote here in 1 Corinthians 4:20. He says that the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. The power of the Holy Spirit is genuine. It's so much more than empty words. When I was a kid, one of our family friends was good friends with Robert Brooks and Antonio Freeman. If you're unfamiliar with who Robert Brooks or Antonio Freeman are, they were wide receivers that played in the 90s for the greatest professional sports organization ever to exist, the Green Bay Packers. I can remember this family friend had signed helmets and jerseys all over his house, and he had a direct line to them. And for you students, what I mean by a direct line is, back in the day when we had landline phones, they had his number and they could contact him or either one of those guys whenever they wanted to. And I thought it was just the coolest thing to have a direct line of communication to two professional athletes. I was super proud that I knew someone who knew someone, if you kind of get where I'm coming from with that, almost as if listening to another's person experience actually put me into communication with them. But the truth is, being a spectator isn't the same as being a participant. The sheer magnitude of the idea that we can communicate directly with God stirs my soul. Stirs my soul. Prayer is living by God's power. Prayer is participation. It is a direct line of communication to God Himself. And it's vital in three ways. Prayer is vital in seeking the hand of God. Prayer is vital in following the example of Christ. And prayer is vital in our personal life. And we're going to highlight the importance of prayer in our lives in these particular ways today during our time together this morning. And this first one, the importance of prayer in seeking the hand of God. We need to seek the hand of God in prayer. If we're being truly honest with ourselves, most of us feel that we have the ability to achieve spiritual results on our own. But if we believe this, and we've actually lost sight of what the true meaning behind 1 Corinthians 4:20 is really all about, because God's rule and reign in the lives of his people is a matter of spiritual power, not human endeavor. It's supernatural. We need to come to grips with the need to pray if we want to see the fruit of changed lives. That's just the reality. That's just how God set it up. If we give into the temptation to try to do through our own efforts what only God can do by the Spirit, we will never see the fruit of change. And because we desire to see God do his kind of work, we must work according to his method, and his method is prayer. The Bible's filled with stories that highlight the importance of prayer. In Genesis chapter 32, we read about Jacob. And for those of you who might not be familiar with the story of Jacob, just know this. Jacob was a schemer. Okay, he was a schemer who repeatedly chose to use human efforts to carry out what he felt that God could not do alone. Finally, Jacob comes to the end of himself. You see, early on in Jacob's life, he cheated his brother Esau out of his inheritance. And Esau was going to kill him for this. So Jacob fled with his life, and he goes and he lives a life, and he becomes actually quite wealthy. And he's faithful during many parts of his life. And he spends many years away before deciding to return home to reconcile this relationship with his brother Esau. So he gathers up all of his cattle and all of his family, and they leave, and they are on the way to the land that Esau resides in. And Jacob sends scouts ahead, and the scouts return and say, "Jacob, Esau is on his way to confront you. He's got an army of 400 men." And Jacob is gripped with fear. He's gripped with fear because he doesn't know what to do. And this fear that Jacob is gripped with forces him to pray. He turns to prayer. So Jacob spends an entire night alone praying. And then the following night, God himself actually appears to Jacob as a man, and he begins wrestling with him. And Jacob is so intent on receiving God's blessing that he wrestles with him all night long. Jacob sought the hand of God. He sought the hand of God in the face of his need, and he never let go, because he knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that his only hope was in the work that God alone can do. Graduates, church, our only hope lies in the supernatural work that God alone can do. Maybe it's time for us to wrestle with God so that he might pour himself out upon us. Prayer is vital in seeking the hand of God. It is also vital and following the example of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our standard in all things. So I just want to talk about him for a moment. He's really why any of us are here today. And this is true about Jesus. A few things that are true about Jesus. Jesus knew God's heart. Jesus knew his mission. Jesus knew the needs of everyone and everything around him. Jesus was part of the Trinity. He was God himself. And despite all of this, Jesus continually devoted time to pray. And I'm not just talking about tacking on time to an already busy schedule. And believe me, Jesus was very busy. He worked very hard during his ministry here on earth. And here's the thing. If anyone could make a case for not needing to pray, it would have been Jesus. Yet he prayed. In Mark chapter 1, we see Jesus in the midst of an exhausting day, and this day extends very late into the night. He's healing the sick, he's casting out demons, and he's absolutely, utterly drained. And Jesus is fully human, so remember, he's going to feel the same fatigue that you and I would feel after a long day of ministry or a long day of work where you're just absolutely feeling exhausted. But he doesn't sleep in. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, we read, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." Jesus prioritized prayer. Here's another example that we see about the importance of prayer. And not just prayer, but spending time alone in prayer. In Matthew chapter 14, we read about the tragedy of Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. John the Baptist is beheaded. And Jesus is told about this in the midst of doing ministry to great crowds. And you can tell that Jesus is grieving because he tries to draw away from the crowds, and he takes his disciples and they get into a boat and they set off for the opposite shore. But the crowd, so enraptured with Jesus and his teaching, they race on ahead and they cross the sea along the landway, and they get to the shore before him. So when Jesus' boat arrives on the other shore, there's crowds of people waiting there for him. So Jesus spends the rest of the day teaching and loving on people and pouring himself out. And this is the day that culminates in the miraculous feeding of the 5,000. And finally, Jesus has an opportunity where he's able to get away. He sends his disciples away. He's exhausted, but he doesn't go to bed. He doesn't go to rest. Instead, he goes up into the mountainside and he stays there and he prays until at least 3 o'clock in the morning. Jesus prayed. Here's one more example for you of Jesus himself seeking the hand of God through prayer. We know that Jesus was a master at discerning the hearts of men. Okay, he was God. I mean, he was very good at what he did, right? But when it came time to choose his 12 disciples, he doesn't just go ahead and do it. Instead, Luke chapter 6 tells us that Jesus again withdraws, and he goes up onto the mountainside and he spends the entire night praying. He prays straight through to the morning, and then he comes down, and after a night of prayer, then Jesus chooses the 12. Prayer was important to Jesus. Jesus prayed. Graduates, church, We need to follow the example of Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't read books about prayer. He didn't try to come up with a plan to do it better. He just simply prayed. Don't plan to pray. Just pray. Keep it simple. The more complex you try to make prayer, the more difficult time you are going to have actually praying. Keep it simple and take time alone to pray. God is most honored when we set aside time that is specifically for Him. He loves that. And if our life is so hectic that we cannot find time to withdraw and spend time alone with God, like Jesus Himself did, as our standard, then maybe it's time for us to realign our priorities. Prayer is vital in seeking the hand of God, and it's vital in following the example of Jesus. And I'd argue that there's very little that should out-prioritize prayer in our personal life as well. We need to pray. As a church, we need to become so captivated by the need and potential for prayer that we do not allow anything to crowd it out of our lives. I want to emphasize the importance of prayer in our personal life by talking about the man who held the most demanding job of any human being in the entirety of history. Let's talk for a minute about Moses. If you're not familiar with Moses, his task was to forge a nation out of more than a million uncooperative refugees who were scavenging their way through the desert. They had just been slaves in Egypt. They have nothing, and they set out, and there's an army hot on their heels, and God parts the Red Sea, and they cross, and they're going, and they're uncooperative. Moses literally does not ever have a moment to himself, or he wouldn't if he didn't prioritize it. You see, in Exodus chapter 33, we see that despite his busy schedule, his never-ending schedule, Moses made it a priority to pray each and every day. Every day he'd set up a special tent outside of camp where he would go to pray. Communication with God was so crucial to Moses that he did not allow anything to crowd it out of his life. As a youth pastor, I'm often approached by people who lament over the amount of young people who are active in the church through their senior year of high school, and then they just kind of drift away into the world. And all those conversations inevitably end with the question, and Chris, what's your solution to this problem? And I kind of look at those folks and I chuckle a little bit, which generally offends the person asking the question. And then I hold up my hand and said, hold on a second, I'm not trying to offend you here, but let me explain. Me? I can't do anything about that. But God can, through prayer. Last week, Pastor Ryan talked about how we are called to be fishers of people. And sometimes we are asked to fish new waters in new ways. But it never matters how skilled of a fisherman I am, because it is God's Holy Spirit who draws people to Himself, not me. I might play a part in that, certainly, but it's God Himself who changes people and offers people a relationship, who offers people redemption, reconciliation, all of the good things that come with a relationship with Him. And God does not change. He's the same yesterday as He is today, that He will be tomorrow. He loves us the same always, no matter what. It's people that change. It's people that quench God's presence in their lives. I said something earlier today. The sheer magnitude of the idea that we can communicate directly with God stirs my soul. And it does. It stirs my soul. Me? I'm a middleman. Sure, I get it. I mean, I'm here. There's a purpose to my calling to be here. I'm here to model Christ. I'm here to shepherd other people. I'm here to equip the body of Christ. I get that, and all of those are important things to do here on this earth. But if your faith is dependent upon my teaching or the programs that we have here at Alliance Church, then you are inevitably going to be disappointed, because I am going to disappoint you. Pastor Ryan is going to disappoint you at some time. But God, He will never disappoint you. And your faith allows you to communicate directly with Him. Isn't that amazing? We have the opportunity to pray, to communicate directly with our Father in heaven. That stirs my soul. So my answer to the problem of people walking away from the faith has never changed. It's prayer. We need to pray. And I don't just mean praying for our graduates or our youth or people who are struggling, though that's important. And I encourage you to regularly pray for those people and to lift those requests up to the Lord. But what I mean is that each of us needs to pray so that we each begin to know God personally. and intimately, because that's the type of relationship that he desires with us. And he gives us his Holy Spirit to help us out with that. You see, a fundamental truth about humanity is that we will continue to remain around people we know well and we enjoy spending time with. And our relationship with God in many ways is sadly not different to how we treat other people. A.W. Tozer once said, "The man who would truly know God must give time to him." So I ask this question to you graduates and you who are watching this message today. Where are the best and first fruits of your time and energy going? Is it going to God or elsewhere? We started this journey today by talking about books. You know, prayer is a never-ending story because prayer is conversation with God. And when we give our lives to Christ, we will be with God forever. That's the reality. That's the truth that we see in Scripture. Prayer is a reality that we get to enjoy now, yes. But we get to live with this reality of prayer for all of eternity. Communication with our Heavenly Father. So graduates, church, I encourage you, I plead with you to take prayer seriously. Prioritize the habit of daily, secluded, distraction-free prayer. Because it's an opportunity to get to know God directly and intimately. And each one of us, as we live out the story of our lives, we have the opportunity to be known as a man or woman of prayer. We've all been granted time to allow prayer to become a dazzling display of cover art on the book of our life. Your Father wants to talk with you today. Don't keep him waiting. Please close with me in prayer. And remember, after this message concludes, to view the senior video that you can find in the link below this video or on the Alliance Youth Little Falls YouTube page. Let's close in prayer. Let's go and be light. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach your church to pray, Lord. Teach us to be so amazed by the opportunity that we have to communicate directly with you, Lord, that we don't allow anything to crowd that direct line of communication to you out of our lives. Father, I pray that above all else, we would prioritize you, that we would love you, that we would seek to be like you, Lord, and that through the development of that intimate relationship that we have with you, Father, that we would be able to draw others to you as well. Thank you, Lord, for our graduates. I pray that as they embark upon this next chapter in their lives, Father, that they would glorify you, that they would honor you in everything that they do. We lift up today to you, Father. It is yours. We are yours. Amen.